Ibn Ziyad took to the pulpit. Now, obviously, he has a very clear mission to assemble an army, to deter any supporters of al-Hussein, to strike fear into the hearts of the people, and to take command of the situation. Now it was very dangerous for Ibn Ziyad. Hussein was close to Kufa, a day's ride away from Kufa.
And so he wrote a letter to Ibn Sa'ad and told Ibn Sa'ad that he had to take his soldiers and block off the Euphrates River so that al-Hussein and none of his companions would not be able to get any water from the river.
Umar ibn Sa'ad had discussions and had spoken to Imam al-Hussein. And Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam tried to persuade him, by which the Imam finally, when he saw that this man is not willing, he would say to him that I can see that this governorship of Ray will never reach you, and you will be killed.
So Shimr comes to the Battle of Karbala, comes to the lands of Karbala, approaches Ibn Sa'ad and says to him, here is the message from Ibn Ziyad. He reads the letter and it says to him, basically fight al-Hussein or give up your position.
If they do not give their oath of allegiance to me, Yazid, then do what? Cut off their head and send it to Damascus. Written in blood.
Bears witness that there is no Lord except Allah. He is one, he has no partner.
Conserved by faith.
I have kept one for your father, Al-Hussein, but he's much more thirsty than you.
Engraved in hearts.
Yazid is evil and I am good. Yazid is batil and I am haq. The only way you'll see this is if I am killed in the desert and I'm willing to go through this.
An undying faith. The story of Hussein. Peace be upon him.
On the 9th of the month of Muharram, that Shimr ibn Dhil Jawshan arrives in Karbala, and he has a stern warning and a determined nature to fight and to shed the blood of Imam al-Hussein and his family members. He presents this command to Umar ibn Sa'd, who concedes and admits that indeed the battle should commence and should begin.
One of the men on the side of Al-Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam who had a relative among the enemies was, believe it or not, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. On the side of his mother, he was related to Shimr. And thus, Shimr decided that he would give Al-Abbas the option to leave the battle safely.
As loudly as he could, Shimr shouted, "Where are the sons of our sister? Where is Al-Abbas and his brothers?" Al-Abbas ignored his calls, whereupon Al-Hussein said, "Answer his call, though he may be a debauchee." They asked Shimr what he wanted. Said he, "O sons of my sister, you are safe and secure. Do not get yourselves killed with Al-Hussein. Maintain your obedience to the commander of the faithful, Yazid." Al-Abbas said, "The curse of Allah be on you and your security. Do you grant us security while the son of the messenger of Allah has no security at all? Do you order us to be obedient to the damned folk and the offspring of the damned?"
Al-Abbas is very angry at what is being offered here. He says to him, "Woe unto you. You offer me security and you leave the grandson of the Prophet. You tell me to walk away from the battle, to leave the grandson of the Prophet. You're offering me, the brother of this man, security. You want me to betray my own brother, my own blood? What you're proposing is impossible. And he shouts at Shimr in such a way that everybody else can see what has happened. Al-Husayn and Zainab and the camp can see, and even Ibn Sa'd's men can see what is happening here. That this is his principle here.
And as he returned to the camp of Imam Husayn alayhi salam, he was met by Zuhair ibn Qayn. And Zuhair ibn Qayn was smiling and he said, you know what, I want to tell you something. And it is this, that your father, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he had asked his brother, Aqil ibn Abi Talib, to find a woman whom he liked to marry, who would bear sons like you, who would be brave and strong and courageous.
And so Zuhair said, Abbas, you are the son that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam was saving up for this day. So do not disappoint him. Do not fall short of supporting your brother. Do not fall short of supporting your sisters on a day like this.
And Abbas, as if to say to Zuhair, he says to him, you don't need to encourage me. I know this is what I'm made for. I know my life is connected to Al-Husayn's life. I know my life has been connected to Zainab's life. I know where we are going. And so do my brothers, and we are here on this mission. And so with this, we now have the 8th of Muharram ending in a difficult circumstance. No water, and no support, and the men of Al-Husayn being very few.
In the eve preceding Thursday, on the 9th of Muharram 61, 680 AD, Ibn Sa'd stood up and called upon his army to attack Al-Husayn, who was sitting in front of his tent leaning on his sword. Heaviness descended upon him, and he saw, by way of a fleeting vision, the Messenger of Allah, saying, shortly you will join us. Zainab, his sister, heard the men's voices, so she said to her brother, the enemy is getting close to us. Al-Husayn said to his brother, Al-Abbas, ride, may I be your sacrifice so that you may meet them. Ask them about the reason why they had come and about what they want.
So Al-Abbas took a group of 20 men and went to meet Ibn Sa'd's messenger, who was Izra, and he said to him, what have you come for? And he said, Ibn Sa'd tells you, this is the final time he's going to make this demand, that either you submit to the authority of Yazid, or we must fight you, we will kill you and fight you. There's no way out of this.
And he drew his sword and he said, you dare not come, move forward until I have taken instructions from my Imam. And he asked his companions to stay firm until he came back. He galloped his horse back to the camp of Imam Husayn.
Some of the people who were with Al-Abbas remain, such as Zuhair ibn al-Qayn, and they engage in a discussion with some of the army members of Umar ibn Sa'd's troops.
When Al-Abbas returned to the camp, Imam Husayn alayhi salam asked him what the enemy had said. Al-Abbas said, they have given us a final choice. Either we surrender or we die. So the Imam told Al-Abbas, go then and ask them just for one night. We want but one night.
He said, tell them that we wish to spend this night in the glorification and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to pray, we want to recite the Quran, because Allah knows how much I love performing the prayers.
So Al-Abbas went back with this message to Ibn Sa'd, and Ibn Sa'd, his men, his key generals, were disagreements with each other about what to do. Some said, no, force him to fight now. Some said, even if he does not fight, attack him. Some said, no, give him the night, give him one more night. One of them said to him, Amr al-Hajjaj said to him, surely Husayn will fight you tomorrow. He's a man of his word. If he said he won't fight tonight, that means he will fight tomorrow. So tomorrow we will meet on the battlefield. So what difference does one night make?
Ibn Sa'd said, if I knew for sure that Al-Husayn will fight me tomorrow, that there is no chance that he might decide to surrender, I would not grant him this night. But as long as there is that chance, I will accept it. And thus he told Al-Abbas, you have what you have asked for, you may have one night to worship your Lord.
The night of Ashura, a night of sorrow, a night of difficulty, yet a night which is also remembered for the firm faith and the steadfastness of the companions and the Ahlul Bayt of Imam al-Hussein, peace and blessings be upon them all.
On that night, al-Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam gathered all of his companions together, and then he began to speak to them. He began by saying, I glorify Allah with the best glorification, and I praise Him in both ease and difficulty. O Lord, You have honored us with prophethood. You have taught us the Quran. You have made us understand Your religion. You have granted us hearing, vision, and understanding, and You have not allowed us to be polytheists.
He then looked at his companions and his family members and famously said, أما بعد فإني لا أعلم أصحابا أولى ولا خيرا من أصحابي. Surely and verily, I do not know any other companions who are more loyal, who are as courageous as my companions.
And I know of no family better than my Ahlul Bayt in keeping their ties of kinship. So may Allah reward all of you upon my behalf. My grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, told me that I would come to this land of Karbala, and here I would be martyred.
You have done enough. Whatever you have done is a part of your, will be recorded as your good deeds for me. I withdraw my allegiance. I lift the burden of my allegiance from your neck, and you are at liberty to go. In fact, it would be good that you should go and take my family with you.
And so tonight, on the night before that battle, I give you all permission to leave. Go now. The night has covered you, so ride it like a camel.
With this, the Imam then turned and said to some of the guards that they turn off some of the lights to enable those who now understood the gravity of the situation to leave without being shamed in any way.
Silence fell at that point, and the first person who broke their silence was Hazrat Abbas ibn Ali alayhi salam. And he said, we should leave you so that we can live after you. And by God, that is not going to be the case. For we are going to lay down our lives protecting you. And then other companions joined in.
Muslim ibn Awsaja said, how do we speak, how do we present ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment if we leave and abandon the grandson of the Holy Prophet?
Zuhair ibn Qayn then stood and he said, by Allah, I wish that I would be killed, then brought back to life, then killed again, then brought back to life again, and killed again and again and again, thousands of times, if only this would keep you and your Ahlul Bayt from being killed.
And we see that Imam al-Hussein, having ascertained their sincerity, having established their firm belief, said to them that you will all be martyred tomorrow, including Al-Qasim, including the six-month-old infant.
Those of you who have brought your families with us, your families will suffer as my family suffers. All of my sons will be killed. All of my companions will be killed. All of my brothers will be killed. No one will survive, even the infant son, even my young child, the six-month-old child, will be slaughtered. The only one that will be saved is Ali ibn al-Hussein, because Allah wants to see the continuation of the imamah through him.
Once he realized how sincere they were in defending him, he acquainted them with what they did not know of fate. Said he, tomorrow I shall be killed, and so shall you, and none of you will survive. Not even Al-Qasim, nor Abdullah, my infant son, with the exception of my son Ali Zain al-Abidin, for Allah will not permit my family line to discontinue should he be killed, and he shall be the father of eight imams. They all said, all praise is due to Allah who has granted us the blessing of being your supporters and honored us with dying with you. Should we refuse to be on your degree of divine bliss, O son of the Messenger of Allah? The Imam therefore wished them well, then unveiled from their vision what Allah has in store for them of the bliss in paradise, showing them their mansions therein.
And it said that after witnessing this miracle, this miraculous vision, that suddenly the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam had a new strength, had new vigor. They were encouraged and their faces shone with light because they knew that the only thing standing between them and this reward that Allah had promised was the swords and the spears of their enemies.
That is why the next day when you see the martyrs of Karbala behaving like no other martyrs or brave men have behaved in the world, you can understand that they knew where they were going. They knew that what was awaiting them after death was nothing but the sanctuary of paradise.
And so in that night, Imam al-Hussein, his family members and companions would spend the night in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is said that some people heard voices emerging from the camp of Imam al-Hussein, like that of the humming of the bees, and that is sounds of those who were glorifying the name of Allah, reciting the Quran. In contrast to the sounds that were coming from the army of Yazid, of the drums beating and the music.
It's reported that many of Ibn Sa'd's men were very touched by the air of piety, tranquility, even peacefulness that emanated from the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam on that night. And it was very moving to them. And thus it is said that some of the soldiers of Ibn Sa'd spoke with each other, and they decided that night they were going to defect from the side of Ibn Sa'd and join the side of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
O time, you demand a very heavy cost. Tomorrow many people will die, many people will be killed, but you will not be satisfied. When Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam says that when he heard his father recite that poetry, he understood what had happened.
Imam Ali Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam continued that my father repeated these verses two or three times, and so I understood what he meant. As soon as I realized what he meant, tears began to flow from my eyes, but I held my grief in and I remained silent because I knew our fate had come.
And the women, including, for example, Sayyida Umm Kulthum, who would say, Wa Muhammadah, Wa Aliyah, Wa Imamah, Wa Husaynah, Wa Dayatana Ba'dak, it was an expression of grief and sorrow and sadness on that night.
Then the Imam ordered the tents to be pitched beside one another so they would be able to face the enemy from one direction. He also ordered a ditch to be dug behind them and to be filled with firewood, which was then lit so that the enemy's horses would not attack from that direction. Fighting hence would be confined to one front. He, peace be upon them, went out in his depth in the night outside the tents in order to inspect the hills and plateaus and to find out whether there was anyone lying in ambush for them or a place from which the cavalry might attack.
One of his companions by the name of Nafi' ibn Hilal was somehow concerned that Imam al-Hussein was moving away from the area of the camp, so he started walking behind him. Imam noticed that it was Nafi'. He says, Anafi'un hadha? Nafi' says, Bala, Ibn Rasulillah, it's me, and I have just come to see if everything's okay, that you have left, and it is early hours of the morning.
Imam Hussein held his hand and said, Nafi', just listen to me for once. Can you see that land? Can you see the path here? It takes you out of Karbala. Just start walking on that and go, and you'll be safe. And he broke down, and he fell on the feet of Imam Hussain salam. He said, I spent money to buy a sword and my horse.
May my mother lose me. You see this sword I have? I bought this sword for 1,000 dinars. And my horse, I bought it for 1,000 dinars too. And the only reason I bought this sword and this horse is to defend you. I will never abandon you, even if I lose my sword and my horse.
And so the Imam thanks him for his loyalty and goes back. As Nafi' is dropping the Imam off to his tent, he hears a Sayyidah Zainab salamullah alayhi ask al-Hussein, have you tested your companions? Can you be sure of them? And Imam Hussein says, yes, by Allah, each one of them is willing to die for me so many times and will still remain with me, though he has the utmost threats to his life, to his family's life. They have no fear.
He went and told Habib ibn Mazahir that this is what I have heard. And Habib ibn Mazahir wept and he called the fellow companions and he said, look at this, our loyalty is in doubt by none other than the daughter of Rasulullah. And they came, surrounded the tent of Janabi Zainab salawatullah alayha and said that our swords, we will not put our swords back into the scabbard, into our sheath, unless we have plunged it into the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt.
And they say to her that, O lady, we are here to demonstrate and to show our loyalty and to give you assurances that tomorrow, when it's crunch time, when it's time to sacrifice our lives, we will indeed do this for the sake of Islam and for the protection of the sacred family of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon them.
The night of Ashura was coming to a close. The darkness had come before the dawn. For a short time, al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, just for a moment, he slept for a moment, and he saw again in his dream the vision of dogs attacking him and tearing him to pieces. He woke up, and then for another very short moment, he slept.
And at the same time, he saw another dream where he saw his beloved grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who said to him, O Hussein, we are all waiting for you.
O Hussein, hurry up now. Do not be late. Break your fast with us in paradise. For Allah has sent down an angel with a beautiful green glass. And in this glass, in this vase, this angel will collect your blood when it is spilt. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam woke up, he said to his companions, this is what I have seen in my dream. And this dream means that the time to depart from this transient world has now come.